Matthew's version of Christ's birth is remarkably brief, just 8 verses. We know the story, the compilation of the Christmas story. We've heard it read many times. We've sung hymns about it. We've seen countless Christmas pageants, all of which can make it easy to forget that Joseph and Mary were real people. They were not superheroes. We sometimes project on the screens of our minds a picture of Mary as a beautiful young woman who never felt the pangs of birth or had a bad hair day. We picture Joseph as the perfect, protective, calm, and strong father who never questioned Mary's pregnancy or doubted. My guess is that we picture both Mary and Joseph as never freaking out about Mary's pregnancy. Today, I invite us to get real. Now, the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Engagement. We know about engagement, right? But engagement for Joseph and Mary wasn't like my experience 50 years ago this month when I knelt on a Southern California beach and asked Connie to be my wife. And she fortunately agreed and said yes, and voila, we were engaged. In Jesus' day, engagement was a legal binding contract between the couple without the consummating of the marriage or living together. It's during this engagement period Joseph discovers Mary is pregnant. Wow, what a shock. Who's the father? How could she betray me in this way? Last weekend, Connie and I were in Wichita celebrating our granddaughter Annabelle's 16th birthday. On Monday, we decided to drive home. We planned to drive straight through 800 miles, even though there was a slight snow coming down and it had snowed previously. But we wanted to get home, and we hopped on the road. But by the time we got to St. Louis, the roads were awful, freezing over. It was getting dark, so we found a motel. The next day, Tuesday, is bright and sunny. I-70 was cleared off. And as we drove through Illinois, I kid you not, it looked like a war zone. We saw a dozen or more 18-wheelers jackknifed or rolled over in the ditch. One of them was one of those prime trucks. I wonder who's missing out on Christmas this year because of that accident. But we also saw many abandoned cars and even an RV tipped totally over with the wheels reaching upwards to skyward. I couldn't help but think of all those people whose plans were interrupted, or truck drivers whose careers may be on the line. I couldn't help but think of the panic and fear of the people as their vehicles slid into the ditch, knowing that their journey was over. When Joseph learned that Mary was pregnant, it was like he was in one of those cars sliding into the ditch. He knew their relationship was finished. I think most of us can identify with Joseph, who might have said, what? Why? How this happened? Can this be happening? We all live with stress, interruptions, crises. that sometimes just come out of the blue. Some of the most common, of course, are loss of job, increased financial obligations, death of a loved one, betrayed by a friend, divorce, chronic illness or injury, being bullied, losing our reputation, giving care to an elderly or sick family member. Political divisions? We have any political divisions in our country? Yeah, no, right. President being impeached? Here at First Presbyterian Church, the retirement of Reverend Karen Cassidy and the uncertainty of her absence and what that might mean for you all. I mean, like Joseph, we all live with weighty challenges. I believe the story of Joseph can inspire hope. Joseph had two options. He could publicly declare his personal humiliation and Mary's sin, point the finger at her, in which case Mary could be stoned to death. If he wanted to seek revenge, and we probably all know what that feels like, want to get even, he would have been perfectly in his right to point the finger at her, and she very well could have been stoned to death because that was the law in those days. Or Joseph could quietly divorce Mary. Joseph's gracious character is revealed as we read, her husband Joseph, being a righteous man, and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. He chose grace over humiliation, love over judgment, Mary's best interest over his wounded heart. He took the high road. Wonderful example. Wonderful example of how God would have us deal with and handle and approach life's disruptions. While making the gracious decision to quietly dismiss Mary, we read, but just when he had resolved to do so, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to marry Mary, or take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. We began our worship by affirming that God comes to us in many different ways. An angel came to Joseph through a dream and assured him that God wanted him to take Mary as his wife. But ask the question, when have you experienced divine guidance? What form did it take? Has God ever come to you in a dream? God can come to us in many, many different ways. And God wants to come to us, and God wants us to have hearts and minds open to God's presence. I can't say that I've received a direct message like Joseph in a dream, but there have been times when I have had dreams of specific individuals, and I woke up the next morning with a strange sense, I call it a holy nudge, that I should reach out and make contact with those individuals. And I will say to you that when I have done so, when I have followed up with that holy nudge, it seems like a God thing happens. And there is a connection that needed to have taken place. Well, God came to Joseph through a dream, and Joseph jettisoned what he initially believed to be the right and faithful thing to do. Joseph's humility and faith was revealed when he set aside his own plans and stepped into God's new plans. He had the courage to imagine God at work even in Mary's pregnancy. Now that's quite a change of attitude. In their relationship, and even though he couldn't see the big picture, he chose to follow in a new way. The angel's message that Mary's pregnancy was connected with Israel's great hope of Emmanuel prompted Joseph to change course and say to Mary, in effect, I'm with you and I'm for you. Let's get married. Matthew's story concludes, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. Joseph could have ignored the angel's instructions, chalked up that night visitation as only a strange, weird dream. He could have dismissed Mary quietly and still been considered a righteous man for having dealt with her graciously. Joseph took a risk and embraced God's dream. And by trusting, he witnessed firsthand the essence of Christmas, Emmanuel, God with us. God with us to bring light and wisdom, to move us beyond partisan politics. God with us to give hope and peace even while uncertain about the future. God with us to give us courage to do what is right. God with us to love and forgive ourselves and those who have hurt us. God with us to be gracious and patient even when stressed. God with us to be at peace even in the midst of our worries. Emmanuel, God with us no matter what. Let me tell you of someone who understands the blessing of Emmanuel. Her name is Sue Karras. Sue's husband Rick and I were associate pastors together at the First Presbyterian Church in Grand Island, Nebraska. Rick was associate pastor for youth. I was associate pastor for pastoral care and adult education. We worked together for 9 years. Loved Rick a lot. We became friends and, like I said, served for 9 years. And in January of 2018, Connie and I received the most shocking news. Rick unexpectedly died while vacationing in Iowa. Rick was younger than me and had always been involved in youth, which made him seem even younger. He had retired the previous April, and he and Sue built their retirement dream home overlooking that beautiful city of Albuquerque, New Mexico. They loved the Southwest. They were home. They were retired. They were going to live the good life in their beloved state of New Mexico. And they had only lived in their home for 4 months before he died. Over the past year or two, Sue's Facebook posts have been a beautiful diary of how to handle loss. With faith, hope, and honesty, she understands that through Emmanuel, God does come to every trembling heart. This is her testimony to Emmanuel's blessing, written just this year in her Christmas letter. Received it just this week. This is what she said. This has been a tough year for so many good friends, facing major illnesses, aging issues, or loss of a spouse. My cousin Cindy is greatly missed this Christmas. My mom continues to deal with chronic medical issues. It would be so easy to be wistful this holiday season, thinking of all we have lost and what is missing in our lives this Christmas. Instead, I think it is important to treasure what we do have. The laughter and warmth and hugs of family. The wisdom and tenderness of old friends. And the assurance that God's love is with us in all the seasons of our lives. Emmanuel, the assurance that God is with us in all of the seasons of our lives. Amen.